It is so good to gather together in the name of Christ as His people in the joy and the love that He gives us. And we are glad to be here today to worship Him. And I invite you now to prepare your heart to come into His presence and open your heart and mind to the things that He would say to you today to encourage you, to guide and direct you. Let us come to the Lord and prepare our hearts to worship.
Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and we relight the candle of hope. And now we light the candle of peace. Peace is more than a feeling. It's more than a cessation of war. It describes a state of being where God, His people, and every aspect of creation are abiding together in perfect harmony. It is what the Bible calls shalom. This peace was lost due to humanity's rebellion against God. We now live in a world under judgment, full of alienation and strife. But the promised Prince of Peace came in order to reconcile us to God and to restore shalom to His fallen world. If we know Him and love Him, He will bring us peace with God, peace in the world, and peace forevermore. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Prince of Peace. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our God of peace, we worship You this day. Thank You for sending Your Son to be our Prince of Peace. Thank You for providing the way for us to be restored in our relationships with You and each other, though the world around us is still filled with strife. We look forward to the day when shalom shall once again fill it. Until that day comes, grant us peace in our Savior, and let us bring His peace to all around us. Amen.
Let us now respond in praise to God, standing with our hymnals, turning to 167. 167. Oh, sing a song of Bethlehem. And we'll be singing the first and the fourth verse.
Oh,
Let us open our scriptures together to the New Testament found on page 55 in your Bibles, page 55. And we're going to be reading together from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, beginning in verse 76. So Luke 1 on page 55, beginning in the verse 76. And I'll be reading to verse 79. Let us all stand with our Bibles as we hear God's word. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we stand before you in silence, in awe of your incredible being, that you always existed and that you made this whole universe and you made us. And when we fell away from you, you had a glorious, wonderful plan that was announced to the world, and we read of it in your word, announcing peace and goodwill to men. Father, we're in awe of your plan of salvation to save us and all that you have made. And in silence, we adore you with all our hearts. And we pray that in all the days we have left in our lives, that we will grow in knowing more and more this wonderful gift you've given us, the peace we're able to have now and forevermore. And we pray that we may know this peace in abundance that is beyond comprehension. And we thank you for this wonderful gift, uniting us back to yourself now and forevermore. Thank you for telling us this in your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
So in this Advent season, God certainly wants you and me to be experiencing his gift of peace. The gift of Jesus Christ to us brings in him this gift of peace that is supposed to pervade our lives now and forevermore as his people. We can see that especially in Luke's account here that we read today of the birth of Jesus and the prophecy given to Zechariah even before the birth of Christ, that Jesus was one who comes to guide our feet into the way of peace. We are people who are to be walking in the way of peace. And the angels sang at Christ's birth that wonderful song we all know from the hymns, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." We are the ones on earth who are to know peace, because God is well pleased to give that to us. And of course, in the prophecies foretelling of Jesus' coming, the prophets spoke of people who once walked in darkness, seeing a great light and coming to know unspeakable joy. And we read a prophecy such as this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Jesus came into this world to bring us peace. And this Advent, we want to be strengthened in our experiencing of this great gift. The peace we presently know is partial, and it is in the midst of tribulation, but this makes it no less precious. In fact, in a way, it makes it even more precious. It is the birthright of all God's children, and something in which we are to find tremendous comfort. Now, I suppose we all have our assumptions of what peace is. And I'd like to ask in your mind right now to define what you think peace is. Just think of a little definition. What does this idea of peace mean to you? Is the gift clear to you? We see a great deal of strife in our nation and world right now. We also feel inner turmoil and stress. How does God's gift of peace relate to these things? We only have time today to quickly summarize this very complex biblical idea of peace. I'd like to present it today with four dimensions to sort of simplify it for us. First of all, there is the dimension of peace with God. We might call that the upward dimension and the beginning place of all peace. There's also peace with one another, which is the horizontal, the outward dimension. And then there is the peace that we have with self, the inner dimension. And finally, there is the peace that we have with the entire creation all around us. Peace is very much a relational thing. How we relate to God, to one another, to self, and to the world around us. And when all of those things are functioning in the way that God intends, we can say that we are people who are filled with peace, who are experiencing peace in our lives. So first of all, let's look at what peace with God is like. And this, as I said, is the beginning point of it all. If we don't know peace with God, we really aren't going to experience any of the other types of peace that the gospel desires to give us. The peace that we have as God's people is so different than the peace from the world. Think about peace that people have who are not Christians, who don't know the good news, who don't have the new life of Christ within them. Peace for them is the removal of all the things that cause stress. It's a negative sort of reality. It's a peace that comes by subtracting the things in our lives that cause us turmoil and anxiety. So for the person who is outside of Christ, in order to have peace, you have to get away from stress factors. So peace is found by going on vacation, or peace is found by getting away from some significant other who's driving us crazy, or peace is found by changing our job. Peace is found by getting rid of the things that cause us angst in our lives. But for the Christian, peace is something very different. It isn't a process of subtraction. It's adding into our lives the wonderful things that flow from the gospel. And it doesn't so much change our circumstances. All the stresses and hardships of life can remain the same. And yet the peace that God gives comes in and does this amazing supernatural work that utterly transforms our lives in the here and now and will totally transform all of life in the world to come. So as I said, for us as Christians, it begins with knowing peace with God. And the Apostle Paul talks about peace with God primarily in Romans chapter 5, where we read Paul saying, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And he goes on then in the 10th verse of that same chapter to talk about the fact that we were once enemies, but God in great love has reconciled us to himself. He has brought us into this relationship of peace with himself. God very much wants you and me to know that we stand in a relationship through Jesus Christ of peace with him. And this is an ultimate state of being between us and God. The world is not in this relationship. We know that. The world has fallen away from God. The world is in a relationship with God whereby there is great disharmony and discord, and God has rejected the person who is not in Christ because of sin, because of the intentional flouting of God's law and going it my way. Such a person is not in a relationship of peace with God. And it is impossible for that person to know peace with God. It took God doing this at great cost in order to bring us back. God had to do something, and that's what the good news of Jesus Christ is all about. That God came into this world as a human, as a baby, in order to do for us what we could have never done. In order to restore the relationship between himself and us and bring us back into a relationship of peace. And this, as I say, is very much a relational reality. It is God becoming a friend to you and to me. And knowing that he will always be your friend, that he will never reject you again, because of what Jesus has done. No matter how much you mess up, once you have received this gift of God's acceptance through the great cost of Jesus' death and resurrection, God now is in a new relationship with you. He may be upset with your behavior. He may discipline you as a loving father, but he will never reject you as a person. It is impossible for him to do that once this peace has been established. So we need to begin there when we think about peace and the gift of peace and say to ourselves, do I really know this peace with God? Or am I constantly being thrown into a state of spiritual turmoil where I think because of what I've done or failed to do that my relationship with God is fundamentally changed and that he no longer loves me or accepts me? That is the beginning point of knowing peace in our lives. There can be no other peace unless we begin there and have a really sure foundation of the love that God has given us in Jesus Christ, of his friendship, that he is for us, that he accepts us, that he embraces us. Peace with God is the beginning point. But that then moves on into peace that we have with one another. And here we are living in a world that is so divided, where even in our own church, we're a little bit afraid to talk about our political viewpoints because there's such strong divisions and strong feelings, and we don't understand how one person can have this view. We judge one another. We grow irritated with one another over politics. And this is the sort of world that we're living in, where there is this intolerance of each other based on all sorts of means of division, based on just our appearance, based on our backgrounds, based on our economic, social status. All these things are dividing, separating us from one another. And here God has come into this world as a baby in order to bring peace between people, in order to bring us back into relationship with one another again, in order to break down all of those dividing walls of hostility and to show us something greater, a love that humbles us, a love that brings us all down to the same plane where we all stand together as those who are helpless sinners before God in need of grace. And where we experience together the greatest uplifting blessings of God's love that ennobles us and restores us to a place of great purpose and meaning and dignity in this world. And as a church, we are a people that have experienced this together. And all the other differences we have just fade away in comparison to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And so the church is to be the one place in this world where we experience the beauty of the peace that God gives us in relationships together. And that's why it's so vitally important that now in a world that is just seeking to tear us apart, that we as the people of God are very careful to do as Paul says in Ephesians, to make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. We have all drank of the same Spirit. We have all been united in the love of Jesus Christ. We all find our life in and through Him. And we all live with the same purpose to please Him. The things that unite us are so great. And so we are called to be a presence in this world of peace, a people of peace. And as a world divided looks at the Church of Jesus Christ and sees very, very different kinds of people living together in love, that is to be a powerful testimony to the world of something that they cannot know, cannot find, and do not even want. So peace with God, peace with one another. And I want to ask you about that peace with one another. What is it that keeps us from knowing that? Think of all the things that are in our hearts as we relate to one another, the petty rivalries, the ways that we covet and envy, the ways that we are jealous, the ways that we hold grudges and unforgiveness in our heart towards one another, the ways that we are embittered, the ways that we suspect, that we criticize, that we judge one another. You see, all of these things are in our fallen hearts, and they're all, every day they're seeking to be operative. There's always that temptation to fall into these patterns of relating to others. And so in order to have peace in our relationships, we need to be aware of the reality of our own fallenness and our own tendencies to behave in these ways, and to rely upon the grace of Jesus Christ to enable us to see our sin, to repent of it, and to walk in the love of Jesus Christ together. That's so important for us to be doing as a church, to be able to quickly forgive, to be able to see the ways in which we're holding sort of a critical spirit in our hearts, and to bring that into the presence of God and ask Him to just cleanse us of that and replace it with His love. We need to be very active in this. Peace is not something that you're just passive with. Peace is something that needs to be very actively worked out in our lives through faith. And it's on this relational level that we have to work hardest of all. There's also, thirdly, the peace that we have within ourselves, the peace that comes in the soul of God's child, an inner tranquility that Paul talks about in Ephesians, or maybe even better in the book of Philippians, where he talks about the person who's anxious. And he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will fill your hearts in Christ Jesus. You see, this is an inner reality that God gives. It's interesting. This inner peace is the thing that the scriptures talk the least about. In fact, in the Old Testament, it isn't even really found there. And it's only found a couple of places in the New Testament. Romans 15 is another example. And yet it's what we focus on most of all. This sense of inner well-being and a state of being, feeling tranquil inside. And yet this is really not the primary teaching of the scripture. And yet it is something that God does want us to know and experience. What is it that unsettles us so much as God's people? What is it that causes all this turmoil within? I think a lot of it is brought upon ourselves, isn't it? A lot of it is unnecessary and needless. Sometimes it is just our own brokenness and our own patterns of misbehavior, the sort of things we were just talking about, the ways we relate to one another. We bring it all upon ourselves, and all of the inner turmoil of guilt and the feelings of failure, all of these sort of things that are just churning within us like a restless ocean are oftentimes so unnecessary if we would just walk in the love and obedience of our Lord. And then also there are many things that come because of the weakness of our temperament. And some people are given to anxiety. It is just the way that God has created you. Oftentimes people that carry great responsibilities, people that tend to be very detail-oriented, people that are very bright and can see all of the various things that could happen. Well, this becomes a great burden in your life. And so you're constantly given over to turmoil within. And you know very little peace. And then you bring all that turmoil out to others. And so rather than being a person of peace, you become a person who's causing turmoil and unrest within yourself first and then in the lives of others. And this is something that God wants to help you with. God doesn't want us to be people like this. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wants us to be people of rest. He wants us to be able to lie down at night and to sleep in peace. He wants to lift from us all of the weight that we carry alone, and he wants to bear it for us. This is the gift of God's people. And when we try to carry it all ourselves, we're really falling into a sin of self-effort. And believing that we can do it ourselves when we can't. And we need to humble ourselves, and we need to be able to give all of these things to God, and especially at night when we lie down or when we awaken with all these thoughts rushing through our heads. We need to be continually working at giving them over to the God of peace, who has given us so many promises. That he is the one who is guiding our life. He is the one that is protecting us. He is the one that is directing our path. He knows the plans he has for us. He is our provider. He is the one who is going to see us through. And you see, faith is resting in those things. And as we do that, the peace of God comes into our hearts and becomes a reality for us. Peace within. Are you catching this? That peace is not something that we pursue directly, but peace is something that comes to us as we apply the truths of the gospel into our lives. You don't just feel peace with God, but it's as you speak to your heart and recall to mind what God has done for you in Jesus Christ in the very moment that you've fallen down and done something again that you just can't believe that you could do. Something that you're ashamed of, something that just crushes your heart. It's in that moment that you need to go to your God, your Lord, and say, but I know that nothing can change my relationship to you because Jesus has already borne the guilt of this for me. And regardless of how I'm feeling, Lord God, I know that the access to you is uninterrupted. And so I come to you to receive your grace and your cleansing and to be restored and renew my commitment not to walk in this way any longer, you see. But if you question the peace you have with God, if you doubt the peace you have with God, then you're going to end up living in this state of separation from him needlessly. But it's through faith in what he has revealed to you and by applying that to your life that you can be experiencing the peace that he wants you to know as his child. It's the same thing in our relationships. We don't have it within ourselves to deal with various people. But we can go to God in faith and we can find his grace to forgive someone who has deeply injured us. There is no injury that a person can do to us that we are not commanded by Jesus Christ to forgive. And if we refuse to forgive, we're showing that we have not yet known the heart of God and his radical forgiveness of us. We have not yet understood that our guilt before him is much greater, infinitely greater, than any guilt a person could have before us. So if God has forgiven you an infinite amount, then you need to be able to forgive someone a lesser amount by his grace working in you. But again, the restoration of peace is something that is worked out and experienced through faith and applying the truths of the gospel. And it is the same in our relationships within ourselves. So much of the churning is because we fail to see who we are in Christ and the love that God has for us, the forgiveness he has given to us. And it is by affirming these things and working out these things through faith that we find his peace poured into our lives and we find ourselves able to rest at night in peace. You know, the fourth area is our relationship to the whole creation. And God created us to be stewards over this whole world. When he made Adam and Eve, that was their place. And they were to be those who were caretakers. And by caring for the world, by unfolding and unlocking the rich resources that God had created within the world, God would pour out his blessings and there would be all of this profound goodness that would result. And come about as the creation flourished and as we found our meaning and purpose within it. That was God's intent. And of course, a curse has come into this world and futility has come into this world. And God in Jesus Christ is bringing a new creation. And when you rise from the dead in Jesus through faith, you become one who is already living in that new creation spiritually. And therefore, we're called to live in this world, even though it is still under the curse, even though it is still filled with turmoil and futility, we are called to live as those who have once again been restored to be stewards and caretakers. And you have eyes to see that this is our Father's world and who live in the joys of what God has made. And so in our hiking in the mountains and in our gardening and in our care for the environment and in the ways that we deal with all the various spheres of life, we as God's people engage in those things with eyes that see and with a great faith. And it isn't that we make much a difference. You know, futility is still here. And a lot of what we do, we make a beautiful garden and a drought comes and wipes it out, right? A lot of what we do is not going to last, so it would appear. But I would submit to you that the scriptures say that for God's children, the things that we are doing in this world, the way that a river trail was made, right? And a beautiful place to enjoy God's creation. All the things that we're doing as God's people in this world, the Bible says to pray that God would establish the work of our hands, the psalmist said. And in Isaiah and in Revelation, it talks there about the kings of the earth bringing their riches into the city of God. I don't know how it will work, but there's some mysterious way, I believe, in which right now what we faithfully do in this world is going to translate into the coming kingdom and the world to come. And the gardens that we plant now are cultivating something beautiful in eternity. And the stones that we lay now are building something beautiful in eternity. And that's the joy of a Christian, is that nothing we do in faith and in love and in hope is futile. And it will somehow be translated into this kingdom to come by God's grace. And that brings the ultimate peace that day when the earth is renewed and all of God's works praise him and all is working in such a way that God is glorified and his people receive the abundance of his blessings. So that is the biblical overview of the peace that God wants you to be working into your life. Knowing peace with him, knowing peace with your neighbors, knowing peace within, and knowing peace with the world all around you, and working that out by applying the gospel truths day by day, repenting when you fall down, and getting back up on your feet again, asking God's grace, and becoming a minister of his peace in this world. Let us pray together. Well, blessed Lord, we thank you so much that you have come into this world to bring us your peace. And we pray, Lord God, that this ultimate shalom, this blessedness of a world where you have returned and taken up your throne, and where your people surround you with great joy and love to serve you faithfully. We pray, Lord, that even now this might be experienced in our church and in our lives, and that this world might see that Jesus is King, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. To him be glory now and throughout the ages forevermore. Amen. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the everlasting covenant, may he make you perfect in every good thing, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight to do his will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.